Well, sometimes I like on this time of the year just to kind of carry on the Thanksgiving thoughts through the weekend and think on some of those things of Thanksgiving to God and what He's done for us and who He is to us. And this morning I just want to continue on that and to think just a little bit about the goodness of our God. Psalm 52 in verse 1 says this, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually." Psalm 25:8 says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore He will teach sinners in the way." And then the prophet in Nahum, we read Nahum 1 and verse 7, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." It's a most appropriate subject to contemplate as a child of God, the goodness of God, His inherent attributes, and particularly, you know, on this Thanksgiving weekend, but every weekend ought to be Thanksgiving weekend, but the weak creatures we are, it's good to set aside a time and that we remember those things from time to time. It's a subject that is too often neglected and a subject that's often perverted, you know, in our day and age. Some folks will pervert God's goodness, say, "Oh, a good God, you know, wouldn't do this or wouldn't do that." Or they look at the scriptures and come up with, "Oh, God just, He just loves everybody. You know, a loving God would not, you know, send folks to hell." Or they say, "God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin." As we look at the scriptures, and particularly we're studying through Romans, and Lord willing, we'll eventually get to Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 22 says this, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." The truth of the matter is, without severity, there is no goodness. Now, God is a just God. The Scriptures make these things abundantly clear in spite of what men may say. Psalm 5 and verse 5 says this, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Over in Psalm 11 and verse 5, likewise we read, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked man and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." There's no goodness without severity. But our God is good to the very core. Our God is good in his essence. And I was thinking about this today. There's some folks that go around protesting and saying, "Well, God hates fags." You know, that's there. I don't know why they don't use the biblical term if they want to be that way. I don't say God hates sodomites. But you see, we're the weak creatures we are. We don't know. Are there some elect amongst those who are the fags or the sodomites? You know, are there some elect amongst those who persecute the Lord's churches? Yeah, we don't have that omniscience to know those things. You know, we're not free to, you know, to dole out that sort of hatred, that omniscient thing that upon our fellow man. Say, "Well, God hates fag. God hates sodomy." And He makes that abundantly clear. God hates the wicked. The Scriptures tell us that. But you know, those that are His elect, He loves with an everlasting love. I don't know who those folks are. So I'd be kind of want to enter in on something like that. I don't know those things. So there's an element of truth when they say, well, God, you know, loves the sinner. Well, God loves the elect, and yet he hates their sin. I kind of got off on that. I was thinking on those this morning. But the main topic this morning, we want to talk about God's goodness. You know, God's goodness is his disposition to impart happiness to his creatures. The temporal good that he pours out upon us, and particularly eternal salvation that he gives to his elect. The goodness is a moral attribute of God. Now, this is something that is central to who he is. It touches upon his love, upon his mercy, upon his grace. Goodness for God is original and essential. And by that I mean it's not derived from anything else. You know, whatever goodness we find in the world or we find in men is derived. Goodness is a moral attribute of God. It's essential to his character. And God's goodness is absolute. You know, it's complete and it's immutable. It does not and cannot change. Matthew 19, verse 17, the Lord said this. He said, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So all essential good comes from God. James tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, immutability, unchangeableness. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The apostle tells us in his first epistle, 1 John 1 and verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So God's goodness is absolute, it's complete, it's essential to him, and it's immutable, it does not change, it's infinite, it's without bounds. And it's incomprehensible. You know, it's beyond our complete understanding. You know, humankind can't really get their arms around the goodness of God. Paul says in Ephesians 3 and verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. One old commentator, Thomas Manton, said this, he is originally good, good of himself, which nothing else is. For all creatures are good only by participation and communication from God. He is essentially good. Not only good, but goodness itself. The creature's good is a superadded quality. In God, it is his essence. He is infinitely good, and the creature's good is but a drop. But in God, there is an infinite ocean of gathering together of good. He is eternally and immutably good. For he cannot be less than he is. As there can be no addition made to him, so no subtraction from him. The old Baptist commentator A.W. Pink said, God is not only the greatest of all beings, but the best. And the psalmist said it best of all under the inspiration of the Spirit in Psalm 119 and verse 66. God, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Thou art good and doest good. All that comes from him of necessity is good. The decrees of God are good. The creations of God are good. We read in Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Well, I want to consider this morning then the goodness of God. primarily as it's manifested towards man. And then the response that ought to be elicited from within ourselves. First, we consider God's manifestation of goodness, and by manifestation, the making known of His goodness. God's goodness is manifest generally to all of the creation. You know, by the very preservation of things. You know, things are here because God maintains them, because God preserves them. The psalmist says in Psalm 36 and verse 6, "Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, Thou preservest man and beast." God is active in His preservation and in His sustenance of life and in His sustenance of matter. You know, God is not an absentee landlord. You know, there's a philosophy called deism. You know, that and it often uses the figure of a clock. You know, it's like, well, the universe was like a clock, and you know, there was this supreme being, and He wound up the clock and He set it over there to run. You know, and He left. Now God is active in everything. He is active in the preservation of everything, in the sustenance of everything. Psalm 145:9, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Now, you can't turn on the news at night and listen to the weather without hearing somebody talking about Mother Nature. Or they'll talk about, you know, nature does this and nature does that. Nature is simply the way that God normally acts. You know, say, yeah, we can understand, we can study some of those things. Supernature, supernatural, is when God does something outside of the way He normally acts, but it is all within His hand. God is not an absentee landlord. He didn't wind up the clock and leave it. He manifests His goodness by His preservation, by His active sustenance of all things. And God's goodness can be seen in the daily work of the creation. And God's dealing with all the creatures. Psalm 145, verse 15, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." It comes from God. We could talk about nature and all those other things, but His eye, the psalmist says, is on everything. The meat, the food, comes from His hand. And God has ordered this creation so that it is sustained, and it is sustained directly by His hand. Psalm 104, verse 21, "The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God." Matthew 5, verse 45, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." God is active in His creation. God brings that necessary sustenance to all of creation, to all men, good and bad. But for the active hand of God, we'd be gone. So God manifests His goodness by His preservation and sustenance. God manifests His goodness by His providential care. Acts 14, verse 17, "Nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." The only one who truly watches over us and sees over us from cradle to grave is God. It's not, you know, Babylon on the Potomac. It's not Leviathan in Washington. God is the only one who truly watches over His creation from cradle to grave, and in His sovereignty, as we've been studying in Romans, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God shows His goodness by His temporal blessings, those things He pours out upon us daily. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. The sun wouldn't come up in the morning but for God's goodness. Matthew 5, verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Psalm 33 and verse 5, He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. God is good. His temporal blessings, by His revelation that we see in nature, we know of God's goodness. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Psalm 119, 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. God reveals Himself in nature. God reveals Himself in His book. He shows us His goodness there. Thou art good and dost good. Teach me thy statutes. And God ultimately revealed Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. God became man and revealed His goodness upon the earth. Hebrews 1 and verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had made Himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of majesty on high. God reveals Himself in nature and in the Scriptures and in His Son. God reveals His goodness and His salvation unto His elect people. People of every tongue and nation. And the Scriptures tell us that God loves the world. It's speaking that He has a people that He's drawn from every tongue and every nation and every people. We read in Revelation 5 and verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. God shows His good in the salvation of His elect. And not only by the salvation of His elect, but as we look at it a little closer, God shows His goodness to His elect. Particularly and specifically to His chosen children. Psalmist says in Psalm 31 and verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalm 86 and verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Lamentations 3 and verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh after Him. We only seek because He draws us. We only love because He loves us. Scriptures tell us there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that's good. It's all by His grace. It's all by His goodness. And so it is. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, you were chosen by God before the world began. Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You know, to grasp that It's all of God. He loved us before the foundation of the world. It ought to cause us, you know, to cast ourselves upon our face and humility. As I talked about last week, folks, and I understand that some of it's done the most sincere and innocent way, but, you know, we just kind of flippantly talk about you get saved. No, you don't get saved. God saves you. You know, it's all of God. It's all of grace. It's His work. If we're saved, it's because God chose us before the foundation of the world. If we are alive today, it is because God quickened us. It's because God gave us life. Not because of something we did, not as part of a deal, not if we made the right choice or said the right thing, but it's God's goodness to His people. John 5, verse 21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." Ephesians 2, 1, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Over in Colossians 2, and verse 13, You being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." If we're saved today, it's because God chose us from the foundation of the world. If we're alive today, it's because God gave us life. If we came to Christ in repentance, it's because God gave us repentance. And His goodness. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Acts 11 verse 18, "And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." You know, we have nothing to glory in. So, "Oh, I repented and I had faith." You didn't have anything that wasn't given to you. You didn't exercise anything that wasn't implanted in you. If you had repentance, God gave it to you. If you exercised faith, God gave it to you. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Acts 3 and verse 16, "And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by Him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Romans 12 and verse 3, Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." If we're saved today, it's because of the goodness of God, and that alone. If we're saved, it's because God predestinated us to be so. Ephesians 1:5, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." If we're saved, God preserves us day to day. We don't keep ourselves saved. We don't keep ourselves within the fold. The shepherd does. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 5, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Jude writes in Jude verse 1, he says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ." Whatever we are, whatever we have, is by the goodness of God. If we're saved, it's because God has saved us. If we're preserved, it's because God preserves us. And God provides for every true need of His children. Romans 8:28, we've been studying. We know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them we're called according to His purpose. God is good. We can't even truly comprehend His goodness. I can preach on it this morning, but as the Scriptures say, we really can't even, it's incomprehensible to man. But it ought to elicit a response from within us. And rightfully, there ought to be a response from all the creation because of God's goodness manifested to the creation and His sustenance and His provision. So we think about the response to God's goodness. Well, first we look about and we see generally it's disregarded by the world. There's no acknowledgement of it. And even at this Thanksgiving season, you know, you see the move away from those things. You know, to the turkey days, to the... I remember seeing a sign many years ago, and I suppose it's still around, folks say, thank God I'm an atheist. Now, what's that supposed to mean? I don't know. You know, but this rejection of God. And when you give Thanksgiving, what is it to if it's not to God? Some have even said, well, Thanksgiving is the Thanksgiving to the Indians. Or whatever. We ought to acknowledge God's goodness, but by and large the world does not and will not and cannot. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 9 and verse 35, for they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. Now, they didn't acknowledge God's goodness. They didn't turn from their wicked works. Jude says in Jude verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as Paul had said in Romans 2 and verse 4, or despisest thou the richness of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Negatively, God's goodness is disregarded by the world. It's not acknowledged. It's rejected. But positively, it ought to lead His people, as we've hopefully done this week, to thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. It ought to lead us to thanksgiving. It ought to lead us to trust. You know, God in His goodness makes promises, assurances to His chosen people. And in His faithfulness, He keeps every promise. We can trust God. You can't trust much else, but you can trust God. Matthew 11, verse 25, the Lord said, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. Trust of God. Trust of His goodness. Or again, that verse we've been looking at in Romans. We know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, that peace that comes to the child of God, that absence of anger, if you will. You know, and we all tend to that, to get in the flesh. But you know, when we realize everything comes from God's hand, circumstances come from God's hand, people that come in our life come from God's hand. You know, that ought to knock the edges off the kind of anger. Who are we going to be angry at? God? And I think the trust ultimately, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, the trust ultimately manifested in that Old Testament Saint Job. Things were going bad. He didn't understand any of it. His friends told him that God was mad at him. And Job went through all that, and finally he just come down, and in Job 13 and verse 15 he said this, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Even though he slays me, I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to maintain my ways. I'm going to do what I ought to. I'm going to walk as I ought to. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do what the Scripture says." That's what he's saying there. "I will maintain mine own ways before him. I may not understand it all. I don't comprehend it all." And men think, well, you know, if you do right, then, you know, you ought to be driving a new Cadillac or do whatever. Or you ought to be rolling in wealth. Job said, "I don't understand it. I had a lot of these things. They're all gone. I'm trying to do the right thing." He said, "I don't care. Even if he slays me, I'm going to trust him." And because of that, we ought to speak out and testify of his goodness. Psalmist says in Psalm 34, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Or again, as the psalmist says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And so it does us well to consider the manifestations of God's goodness in our own lives. Not just once a year, but every week, every day. We think in our personal lives that God's given us a measure of health, and in particular as he's given us spiritual life. He's opened our eyes that we could see and embrace our Savior and the gospel of our salvation. I think in these past few days, you know, how much the Lord's poured out upon me and the blessings of my family. You know, just your children and your grandchildren. And I'm not deserving of any of that, but, you know, the Lord's gracious. He's good. The Lord's good, and we've got a place to gather as his people, to fellowship, to open the Word, to praise his name. We still, even as a people, enjoy a certain measure of freedom. And I'm thankful for that, and I pray that we might use it to seek to sustain those things as the Lord gives us strength. And so we children of God, we ought to give him thanks. We ought to trust him. We ought to testify of his goodness. And I close with the words of a old Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon. He said this. He said, "When others behave badly to us, it should only stir us up the more heartily to give thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. And when we ourselves are conscious that we are far from being good, we should only the more reverently bless him that is good. We must never tolerate an instant's unbelief as to the goodness of the Lord. Whatever else may be questioned, this is absolutely certain, that Jehovah is good. His dispensations may vary, but his nature is always the same." What a privilege to know and to serve such a good God. Let's take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing a hymn together, number 206, "Meet Me There," 206.
guard no more when the storms of life are o'er meet me there. Where the night dissolves away into pure and perfect day, I am going home to stay, meet me there. Meet me there, meet me there, where the tree of life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er on the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, meet me there. Here our fondest hopes are vain, dearest winks are rent in twain, but in heaven no throb of pain, meet me there. By the river sparkling bright in the city of delight, where our faith is lost in sight, meet me there. Meet me there, meet me there, where the tree of life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er on the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, meet me there. Where the harps of angels ring and the blessed forever sing in the palace of the King, meet me there. Where in sweet communion blend, heart with heart and friend with friend, in a world that ne'er shall end, meet me there. Meet me there, meet me there, where the tree of life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er on the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, meet me there.
Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this day that's set aside as Yours. Father, we thank Thee that Thou art a good God. And though we can't comprehend all that's encompassed in Your goodness, we thank Thee, Lord, that You've revealed Yourself to us, that You've quickened our hearts, that You've opened our ears, that You've allowed us to receive the gospel of our salvation. Father, as we contemplate Your goodness and all that You've poured out upon Your creation and Lord, upon us in particular as individuals. Father, may it truly cause us to trust Thee as we ought. Lord, to testify of Your goodness. Lord, to faithfully walk in Your way, to be that people that You would have us to be in. Lord, may we ever give thanks. For Lord, You alone are truly worthy of it. As we realize that all that's good comes from Your hand, whatever goodness may be manifested in us is derived from Thee. Father, may You receive the glory for all that You've accomplished. Father, I pray You be with each of us as we go our way this week and use us to Your glory. We pray Your hand upon those that need healing. Pray You be with those who seek to faithfully serve Thee, Lord. Give us strength to stand in these evil days. Lord, we pray in particular for Brother Singh as he travels home today. Brother Howe as he goes home and the weather this afternoon as well. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for our Savior. Thank You for Your unchangeable goodness. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.